And now let's hear God's word being read to us from Luke chapter 1, verse 39.
A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Amen.
Let's pray. Father, you speak in many ways. We believe that you speak through your word to us. So we dare to ask that you would speak to each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is full of joy. When we get a passage or a sermon that addresses the theme of joy, the danger as Christians, perhaps as Christians of our generation, is that we feel a pressure that says, you ought to feel joyful. The reality is nobody can tell us that we ought to feel joyful. How we feel is how we feel. I got a book this week that was written by a Baptist minister on the subject of mental health. And the title of the book is something like this. It's, "I Ought Not to Feel Like This." And sometimes when, as believers in Jesus, we don't feel so good. We feel not only that we don't feel good, but we feel bad about the fact that we feel bad. We feel perhaps even guilty for the fact that we are not feeling as good as somehow we ought to feel. So it's very important when we look at a passage that is just full of joy, not to say, right, by the end of this sermon, you ought to be feeling joyful. Because that would be a really silly thing to say. There's loads of stuff that's going on in our lives. I mean, as I was thinking about this day, for some reason, I was remembering the VE Day celebrations years ago. I was mayor's chaplain in Redbridge when they were celebrating VE Day, and we were remembering the huge celebrations of that day towards the end of World War II. Where it just seemed this joy broke out all over the country. But I am sure there were many people who on that day, even though they were delighted that the war had been won, well, at least from a certain standpoint, although they were delighted at that, no doubt there were a lot of people who had a load of heartache. There were people whose family had been killed during the war. There were people who were just going through the normal difficulties of life, some of which are so intense. And I guess that on that day of celebration, they found it very hard to dance and be happy. So the point of looking at a scripture passage that it is about joy is not to say you should feel joyful. The point of a sermon about joy is to be saying, look at Jesus. Look again at Jesus. Look again at Jesus. Because here is a story of how the birth of Jesus did bring great joy to people. And to try and focus on that picture so that we can grasp something of the reasons that there was such great joy, whether or not we actually feel it today. Having said that, this passage does express great joy. And if today you are feeling the joy of the Lord, if you are feeling you want to celebrate, we're going to have a time of open prayer after the service this morning. If you're feeling joyful, please do speak out your prayers. Please do let your joy show. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. We shouldn't be embarrassed about expressing that joy. So here in our passage today, it says that Mary got ready and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. And having said that there are issues in talking about joy, I think really there have to be issues in talking about somebody hurrying and putting it forward. Let's get hurrying this Christmas. Who needs a sermon telling them they ought to hurry at Christmas time? Okay, nobody wants that. Okay, I won't preach it then. But here, do you know what I've discovered about hurry though? I think there are two different sorts of hurry. Yeah, there's that rush, there's that hurry that actually stops us living in the moment and stops us appreciating what's happening at the time. One Christian writer wrote a few years ago, we must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. That sort of hurry does no good. And yet there is another sort of hurry, which is the hurry when you are feeling excited by something that says, I've got to do something here. Now, as the father of three children, I know about this sort of hurry. Because I discovered as a father many years ago now that getting our children out of bed on Saturday morning at a certain point in their lives was not the easiest thing to do. Why do we need to hurry? It's Saturday. We don't have school today. But there was one great exception to that rule. Because we developed this family tradition that once a year we took them to a theme park. And I discovered that on the day that we took them to go to Alton Towers, there was never any bother getting them up in the morning. They were bouncing out of the bed. They were dressed. They were ready to go. They were hurrying. They were telling us to speed up. And then when you get, parents of a certain generation will identify with this. When you get to the theme park, there is that golden hour in the morning. Yeah, you've been to the theme parks where the queues for the really good rides aren't that big. And my poor wife had to learn that although most of the time in her life, the request, shall we have a cup of coffee first, would be greeted with a certain amount of tolerance, that there was no way that three very excited sons and one almost as exciting dad were going to miss that sprint to the front of the queue to get on the roller coaster so that we wouldn't later on in the day have to queue an hour and a half. To get on it. We learned that that hour was the hour to be taken. You know, Mary's hurrying at Christmas is not the hurrying of overwork. It's not the hurrying of a stressed life. It's a hurry that has heard something that is just so exciting and so wonderful that she has to go and check it out. And so in the best way, I want to encourage you to hurry to Jesus this Christmas time. I want you to rush to him. I want you to hear the story again and to say, this is amazing story. Mary had just heard two pieces of news. The first was that she was going to conceive a child by the Holy Spirit. I know it sounds daft, but that was Mary's reaction too. The second was that her elderly relative, Elizabeth, was already pregnant. No wonder she rushed. She was running to the proof that what the angel had said to her was true. And perhaps also she was running to the one person who at this time could truly understand her. Remember, there were no phones in those days. There was no social media. If Mary wanted to check out what the angel said, she had to hurry, she had to rush off and to see Elizabeth. I guess that many of us, we do hurry too much. We're always in a rush. We always miss, or sometimes miss, what is going on. And we have to recognize that some of that stress isn't really needed. Some of that stress, do you know, there was this thing, was it on the radio or TV this week about fake countdowns on internet? Oh, it was on Watchdog, wasn't it? Fake countdowns on internet sites. Anybody see that? So what they do is they say, right, this offer is going to last for, and they have a countdown, you know, 5 hours, 4 hours, and then it's going down to the minutes, and then the seconds. And they're trying to press you to act. You know, press the button now. In 33 seconds' time, this offer wouldn't be there. And they showed you this one from a certain website, which I can't remember the name of. That's probably a good thing. But they showed the countdown, and it gets down, you know, to the minute, 30 seconds, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And then straight away, another countdown clock for the same offer restarted. You know, you ever booked your summer holidays? You know, book by midnight tonight. It's your last chance to get £100 off. And then the next day, offer extended. It's a con. And so much of our rushing is a con. But Mary had heard the news. And Mary knew it was time to rush. And remember that as she goes to see her elderly relative, wonderfully pregnant, she's not yet pregnant herself. For her, her pregnancy that is to come is simply a matter of faith. The angel had said to Mary, "Mary, you're highly favored." Actually, the word actually means highly graced. It means, Mary, you have received grace from God. And for us, we have received grace from God. And perhaps this Christmas time, we can tune in to the instinct that says Jesus is somebody that's worth hurrying to. Not because there's a fake countdown clock, but because he really is worth it. And then Mary arrives at the house. Now, I don't know what she was expecting as she got to this house, but she certainly wasn't expecting the reaction that she got. She arrives at Elizabeth's house, and it says that when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the baby, John the Baptist, leaps in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Now, a couple of things jump out that for me. One is it says that she cried out in a loud voice. Elizabeth shouted, this elderly woman, pregnant, who knows quite how she was feeling at this time? Was she in morning sickness? Who knows? But she shouts, and I imagine her shouting at the top of her voice to Mary, "How blessed you are." Now, there are all sorts of different reactions in the Christmas story. Mary, we later learn, quietly ponders and thinks about the things that she has heard. There is a place in our Christmas celebration for doing that. It is important. But I believe also there is a place for shouting. There is a place for speaking out this incredible joy. I mean, what else do you do? I mean, poor Elizabeth, according to the conventions of the day, she goes into seclusion. Pregnant women don't show their faces in public in this sort of culture. So here she is, she's bursting with excitement. And here her younger relative arrives, and she just has to let that excitement out. And it says that the baby leaped in her womb. Something incredible is going on here. It's like the baby in the womb is the prophet. Because as far as I can work out from this story, Elizabeth didn't even know that Mary had had the visit from the angel. Maybe she did, but I get the feeling, the way the story is told, that she didn't. And somehow a baby leaping in a womb becomes prophetic. Somehow it speaks of what is about to happen. And Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth at this moment is just so full of God's presence. Elizabeth is just so full of God's joy. And let's face it, she's just excited. As Elizabeth says in chapter 1, when she hears when she realizes she's pregnant, she says that the Lord has taken away her disgrace. She lived in a culture in which it was shameful to be childless. In this culture, they took very seriously that it says in the creation story that the man and the woman are commanded to have children. It was a thing of shame. And of course, today, although hopefully we don't feel quite that shame, this issue of childlessness can still be difficult to cope with. And there is certainly no promise here that every childless couple will miraculously have a family. But now, after all these years, she got to the point where they like called time on any hope that she would ever have a baby. And then she gets this strange message from her husband saying that he's met an angel and something's going to happen. And then it does happen. And she's just overflowing with joy. You know, I used to say that when I became a grandparent, I was going to get revenge on some people. I used to say, why do you show me so many pictures? Why is it so exciting for you? I'm going to sit you down and I'm going to make you look at every picture of my grandchild to get revenge for all the times you've done it to me. And then guess what happened? We heard that we were expecting our first grandchild. And this incredible joy that I couldn't quite explain came over me. Almost as powerful as the joy of becoming a parent for the first time. And you know, this morning, Rachel, our daughter-in-law, who is incredibly good at this sort of thing, she sends us a clip. I will not force it on you after the service, but if you ask me, I might just let you see this clip. Because our little granddaughter is now in one of, you know, those bouncy things that hands down? And we've got this 13-second picture of her bouncing, isn't it? And Dad is egging her on at the side of the picture, jumping up and down as well. Can I just say, it's the most amazing video clip I have ever seen. Why am I waffling on like this? Because Elizabeth felt a joy that day, which was way beyond anything that I have experienced. And do you know what her biggest joy was that day? It wasn't that in her old age she was going to have a baby. It wasn't in her old age prayer was going to be answered. Her great joy that day was she felt so honored that the mother of her Lord should come to her. What about us? You know, my heart does go funny when I see pictures of Izzy. Forgive me for going on about it. My heart just leaps with joy. But what a privilege that our Lord should come to us. What a privilege that God should send his only Son into the world. What a privilege that God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus. For Elizabeth, it was about the mother of her Lord coming to her. For us, it is the fact that over 2,000 years ago now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And in an amazing way, God's word became human. And he came and he visited the world, God not staying away from us. And we are joyful. And that's why this scripture is about joy and hurry and rush and excitement. Now, there's lots of sadness in Luke's gospel, but there is this overwhelming joy. Luke's gospel closes by talking about the overwhelming joy that the disciples felt as they met with the Lord. There was joy beyond anything they could say. How honored they were that their Lord should not just return back from the dead, but should return to them. And how honored we are that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, comes to us. You see, it says there that Elizabeth was full of the Holy Spirit. And Luke will want us to know, if we read the story on and continue reading it in the book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit is given to those who believe. You know, earlier on in the service, we were singing, "He's my Savior," and we were adding verses to it. He is with us, Christ the Lord. He walks with us, Christ the Lord. How privileged we are, how honored we are that that should be so. Perhaps it's not surprising from that the rushing happens in other places in the story of Jesus. Think of a blind beggar rushing to Jesus because he realizes that Jesus is calling him. Think of a father whose son has been away in the far country and has been left for dead, rushing, hurrying towards his son to embrace him and throw his arms around him. Think of Peter and the other disciple who isn't named, hearing the story of an empty tomb and running to it as fast as they could so that they could work out what is going on. And the joy comes from getting to know Jesus better. The joy comes from understanding how privileged we are. As Elizabeth says, he is the Lord. Mary has already been told that God is going to give her child the throne of her father, her ancestor David. In 30 plus years' time, Peter will stand before a crowd after the resurrection of Jesus and say, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And the Lord comes and he spots people who seem to be unimportant. Mary was nothing special. There's nothing in the scripture to say that Mary had earned what she was given by the Lord. It was a matter of grace. And he comes to us and he offers us grace today. And as Elizabeth is full of joy because the Lord has taken away her shame, so today Jesus comes to us to take ours away too. To say that we are loved. To say that we matter, to say that we are honored, to say he has grace for us. And the thing that excited Elizabeth, Mary's faith. How blessed is the one who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise. Actually, given what happens in the story, before this, it's good that Mary did believe, because when Elizabeth's husband Zechariah met the angel, Zechariah didn't believe and the angel made him go so he couldn't speak for a while. So Mary is able to speak out. She's blessed like that. But this theme of faith is one that goes through the whole amazing story of Jesus. Jesus looking for faith. Jesus looking for people who trust him and believe in him. People like Mary, who when the Lord says to them that they have a special role to play, say, yes, I'm your servant. Let it be to me as you have said. And all the way through the story of Jesus, where people have faith, great things happen. So this morning, as we sort of prepare to keep going on that countdown to Christmas Day. We have some time before we close our service today that we can pray, that we can express our joy to the Lord today. Let's come to him in prayer now. Father, we see the great story of Jesus. We do that, many of us, with our own struggles in our lives. And especially today, we want to pray for Kylie and for the new baby that is being formed inside her. And we pray your protection for both of them. And Lord, we pray for all of that family, that you would put your arms around them today. And Lord, we pray that Kylie and the child will both be safe. Lord, we pray for the hospital staff as they seek to help them at the moment. Father, we pray too for others. There are several others in our church who have health struggles at the moment. Lord, we pray that you will take care of each one. And Father, we pray for our church, Lord, as we look forward to Christmas. May we know something of the joy that Jesus brings. May we know that he has taken away our shame. May we know that we are honored that our Lord should come to us. And even that within us, something would leap this Christmas as we celebrate the birthday of Jesus.